Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, and welcome to Japan. I don't know if I'm meant to be doing an intro. I assume Tim's done an intro. So if he has, thank you, Tim. But I'm here with Phil. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Jonathan.
Well, where are we, Phil?
Great question. We are in the middle of nowhere. We are in Gora, which is a small town in the Hakone region of Japan. And we are not a million miles from Mount Fuji, which means that we are a couple of hours south and west of Tokyo.
Okay, so to be precise, you are 10 hours away from Mount Fuji, by foot.
By foot, yes.
By foot. an hour and a quarter on in the car, and we're in what can only be described as, I'd say, a very, very, very small national park.
Yes.
About, in fact, so I'm gonna say about 7 kilometres wide, 7 kilometres by about 7 kilometres.
Oh no, it's bigger than the national park is surely bigger than that.
Well, I measured it. I measured it last night when I could not get any sleep. So I have not been out. You've been out for a walk today. I've not been out for a walk. I have not. I would say over the last 3 days, I've had maximum of 2 hours sleep, consecutive sleeps. So last night I managed to get 2 hours followed by 8 hours this morning. So finally, I feel fresh.
So it is about 2 o'clock Japanese time. And yeah, we've been doing a few things. A couple of us went for a nice long walk up a mountain. A couple of us took the easier cable car option. And we had a glimpse of Mount Fuji through the clouds on the cable car down. So, not too bad in Hakone so far.
Yeah. Now, if your intention was to go somewhere to learn all about rugby, my advice to you is don't bother, stay at home. Because since I've been here, I have learned nothing about rugby. I've missed 2 games. And because I don't understand any of the news sources, I don't seem to be getting any updates on anything.
It has been difficult. We have done a lot of travelling. So we did 7 hours of travelling yesterday from Fukuoka. Subway, plane, limousine bus, bullet train, regular bus, and then about a mile walk down a very steep hill that we walked up this morning.
We were lucky enough, however, to be in attendance for USA France.
We were.
And it was quite a good game, actually. I mean, it was an infuriating game.
Well, I was supporting USA, so it was infuriating from my perspective, but only really the last 15 minutes. Because until 65 minutes, or until 66 minutes, when France scored what I think was their third try to start to pull away, it was 12-9, and USA were in the game.
Yeah.
And in fact, USA had some brilliant territory and possession throughout the game where they failed to convert try-scoring opportunities. They would knock on or give a penalty away. And had they converted one or a couple of those chances throughout that whole first 65 minutes, it could have been a different result. As it was, France did pull away quite convincingly in the last 15 minutes, and the scoreline probably did flatter France, and USA will probably be frustrated with that last period of the game.
Yeah, it's probably worth talking a bit about USA before we get on to France. But this is quite important for USA, because I think their intention is to show that over the last 4 years, they have dramatically improved. And, you know, it's sort of in the same way as Japan have come on. They want to be seen in that sort of light rather than, you know, Russia or, you know, I think they want to be felt as a peer of, say, Georgia. So putting up a good performance against USA was absolutely
against France.
Sorry, against France was absolutely critical. Now we managed to catch up with some of the USA boys in the airport outside of Fukuoka, and what was really interesting was their comparison between France and England.
Yeah.
And after watching the USA game against France and against England, I am so much more confident that England are actually going to get out of the group stage. I wasn't particularly confident before.
Your explicit prediction before was that England were not getting out of the group stage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is coming from the USA players themselves. They felt that England are considerably more physical than France, which I thought was actually quite a shocking thing to say.
Yeah, what didn't come across from us observing the game from the stands was the physicality, but a big difference from the side of the pitch in the stadium was the structure of England compared to France. So France in any phases where the play went more than about three or four phases, France's structure just totally broke down to the point where there were times when they'd honeypotted to the point that they're in attack and their whole team were within 15, 20 yards of one another. They just all honeypotted in. England do not do that. England have specific structures in place and they keep and maintain those structures phase after phase after phase after phase.
Yeah, I couldn't believe what I was watching. If you were playing a game of touch, this is not a joke. If you're playing a game of touch, say, I don't know, 13 aside, you know, just before you start training, if your players had that structure around a breakdown, you would blow the whistle, you'd tell everyone to stand exactly as they are, and you'd make them correct their own mistakes and spread out across the field.
Yeah, yeah.
There was one...
It's like telling off school kids.
Yeah. And yet, despite that, so I guess I can't even think of the word I'm trying to say here. The real culprits, right, of this were the forwards. The forwards, they didn't seem to want to do anything other than be about 3 yards away from the ruck, and without any kind of structure to being around the ruck.
Yeah.
And even despite that, even despite having all of your forwards all around the ruck, they still were getting turned over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that middle period of the game, so between 6 minutes and 66 minutes, France did look pretty awful. But in the first 6 minutes, that first try they scored, which was brilliant, and a couple of the last tries, they were great and they showed just how dangerous they can be if they get their offloading game, their power game, and their attacking out wide game going like they did for probably the first half an hour against Argentina. I'm not overly confident. I'm confident that England should win, but I am still worried that if France can get it together for more than more than half of the game, they can do enough to hurt England.
Yeah. So the word coming out of France is that yes, they of course did do very well against Argentina. In the first half.
In the first half. And again, they did enough in the last 5 minutes to win it.
But, the knock on them, apparently, from French journalists and whatnot, is that they didn't do well against Argentina. Argentina were just absolutely awful. Now, I can't imagine how bad you'd need to be, you know, as a full set of paid professionals to be worse than France against USA for 60 minutes. I can't imagine. But yeah, they were. So I'm not sure how much to take out of that or not. But there was a stage in the France-USA game where if France go for the corner rather than going for the sticks, I think that they actually win this. I mean, I actually think, you know, France didn't get their third try, did they, till...
66 minutes.
66 minutes.
It was the last 14-15 minutes and France pulled away with the three scores.
Yeah. It's remarkable. France have gone from no coaching to having eight coaches, and despite having eight coaches, they don't seem to be doing anything.
It's like you always say about fly halves. If you've got more than one fly half, you don't have any.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's another question for France, because I actually thought that Lopez has been pretty good throughout the tournament.
Well,
Again, after seeing him, I'm not sure I'd play him ever again. Same with...
It was Entermac for most of the first game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But then Lopez came on and slotted the drop goal.
And the other guy who had an absolutely horrendous game is a guy who I actually really like, is Gittun. I've never seen anyone play so bad in real life.
And Gittun didn't play well. And Raka. Raka, he scored that first try, which was a brilliant crossfield kick, which was the best thing that Camilo Lopez did.
And also his drop goal to win the game against Argentina.
In this one game. That was the best thing Camilo Lopez did. Raka, before that, had knocked on four or five times.
And Gittun was just... He's wild. Absolutely wild. You might say that, to coin a phrase from you, Phil, he was playing on tilt. Because if some of the things he tried to do came off, he might have had a great game. But as it happened, he threw a try-scoring pass forward.
Yeah.
After making an enormous break.
Great break.
He was caught man and ball trying to make a break from what looked like some sort of exit play. And then he also threw a ball into touch, attempting at least one miss pass. Could have been a double miss pass.
Yeah.
So just stupid, stupid things.
So, that does nicely build onto a game that we are going to in a little over 24 hours' time, JB.
Indeed.
So where do we start with England-Argentina? Because for England to lose in the group stages or not get through, they've got to lose at least one of these two games, arguably both, depending on bonus points and other results. First of all, based on what you've seen so far, how do you see this one going?
I don't know. Listen to the podcast to hear me say, I don't know. who knows? The build-up was quite interesting. I'm still phenomenally concerned about Eddie Jones and how he treats his players. And I think that the confidence that they show outwardly, because Eddie Jones has been shouting at them and putting them under mental stress for God knows how long, I think that's very, very fragile. And if Argentina get the upper hand, which they could ultimately do, I can see Argentina winning this. However, if Argentina's plan, and if you listen to all the press coverage prior to that, is about, let's have a war with England, they're going to lose that. And they're not going to just lose it a little bit, they're going to lose it handily.
So it was interesting speaking to one of the USA guys, who I won't mention who it was, but his view, when he heard that we were English fans following, or most of us were English fans following USA, his view was, England can definitely do it. England can definitely go all the way. And his view was, it's the backbone of that Saracens pack, Owen Farrell, who've done it so many times before in big competitions. And his view was, actually, for them to do it, they need to pick Owen Farrell instead of George Ford and Owen Farrell.
Yeah.
Although he didn't have an answer to... Well, who plays 12 then?
No one has an answer to that.
Yeah, which is...
4 years on is ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's staggeringly ridiculous.
So, I'm more confident than I was in England's chances overall. I still think New Zealand are heavy, heavy favourites. But England have looked reasonably impressive so far.
Yeah, let's not forget, they've not played a Tier 1 team yet.
No, they've not.
So, you've got to remember that. The Saracens pack, that doesn't surprise me, because they're bloody good players. What does worry me about that, though, is, not to pick up on gossip from the papers and whatnot, but that is the knock on England, which is they're very tribal within the camp. There's the Saracens boys and everyone else, and they've had clear-the-air meetings, and, it is a thing. It definitely is a thing. So it's not particularly healthy that those are the boys pulling England through. And lastly, is this midfield. So if I was going to build a blueprint to beat England, it would be via the medium of Owen Farrell. Owen Farrell is not a 12. He's never been a 12. He plays badly when he's at 12. He tries to make big hits, as I've gone over time and time again. People will cry and say that this is a defensive system. There is no defensive system that requires you to miss tackles.
He's a good enough 12 to start for the Lions on that point.
Yeah, fine. But you know, but these are just like one-off games. You know, you can't analyze the Lions. You can't do anything particularly useful. They're very, very strange games.
Now, and go 19 games undefeated and win 2 Six Nations playing at 12. But just to play devil's advocate on your point.
Yeah, but I mean. They've had some awful losses, and you know those 19 games were not always 19 games against the highest quality opposition. Also there is Manu. Manu is a very good player, right? But he has been forced. He's been shoehorned into the team for his carrying. And again, defence can sometimes be suspect.
Yeah, that's
if I
true.
Had Manu and Owen Farrell in the midfield, and I had two players. The likes of De La Fuente and Orlando, I think I know which way I'm going.
So, are you predicting an Argentina win then?
No, I'm predicting that's what they should do.
Okay,
they've got to attack that midfield area. Now, the most stupid thing that they could do is talk about the Falklands War, or he didn't say that actually. He said it's going to be a war out there. But I just want to put on the record, I'm mortally offended, and we'll be tweeting about it later. Try and be all macho, target England's scrum. Well, that's going to end badly for you. And then try to beat up the England forwards on the game line. That's going to end real, real badly. They need to play just like the Jaguars do. Spread the ball about, and they can beat England. If they don't, it's going to be a big England win.
And what do you think to the team selections? So we kind of briefly touched on the Ford Farrell Manu, but there's some other interesting selections. So I'm assuming this is pretty much first choice based on the players that are fit for England. There's some interesting selections on the bench. So Mako comes in for his first appearance. Henry Slade is in there. And Jack Knoll is in for his first appearance. Anything you've got an issue? And also Lewis Ludlam is on the bench. Surprisingly ahead of Mark Wilson, unless he's got a knock.
Well, nothing really. I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all who they bring in on the bench, including Lewis Ludlam, because if you make the squad, you're there.
You're good
to play.
Enough. Yeah.
So there must be something which they like about him, maybe which you don't get in Mark Wilson. Mark Wilson's a good carrier. I'd say Ludlam's slightly more explosive. They don't seem to have any backup there for their guys to get them over the game line in the backs. So there's no obvious Manu replacement. Should they need one, which would be very, very worrying. But having Mako come off the bench is pretty awesome, and Courtney Ors is pretty awesome, and Luke Cameron-Dickey is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But look, they're a good team, but I think, you know, do they become mentally fragile again, as they so often do? but they do, right? Scotland, towards South Africa, I mean, just two... Wales.
Scotland and Wales, yes. I'm not sure about the tour to South Africa.
Come off it. They lost two leads of over, 15 points?
Both of which were at significant altitude.
Well,
and then comfortably won the game not at altitude.
I get it.
I'm not saying causation is causation.
I get it. Faf de Klerk trains at altitude all the time. He had a massive advantage over everyone else. But,
more interesting selections. Nicolas Sanchez dropped.
Yeah, I saw this.
Out of the 23 altogether. So Erdi Pletter comes in. So he's a very, very competent, kicking, controlling fly half who's won the top 14 with Cast. So he's a very good player, but it's quite a big surprise. It's quite a shock to actually see Sanchez dropped altogether.
Yeah, and obviously because we are in Japan, we have no idea why he's been dropped. I mean, I can't read the news. I can't do anything. Other than that, that's a very, very nice looking Argentine back line. I have no idea. I have no idea if Ben Urdapadela is better, worse. I simply don't know.
More stable is what I would suggest.
A very stable genius.
Stable. Very stable. Prediction on this game then, Jay. Put your money where your mouth is. I know you said I don't know about 20 times already, but your prediction is going to be...
Argentina by 7.
I think England by 2 scores. So let's just say England by 10 or more points.
Ask me after 10 minutes in tomorrow's game. I'll have a very good answer for you then.
Well, after 10 minutes in the France game, you were shouting that France are going to win the World Cup.
Yeah, well, I thought, you know, if they can extrapolate that 6 minutes into that's, 80, yeah. You never know. How would you beat England?
It's a good question. I think your analysis on the defensive weaknesses of Ford, Farrell and Tuilagi is correct. So I would be targeting them. Now, were I Eddie Jones, I would be looking, and this might be a reason why he's doing it, I'd be looking for my two ultra-mobile back rows to be stiffening up that defence. So certainly anything but a scrum, I want one or both of those in midfield as a target man. So that is the weak point defensively. Now, I do like it offensively because it allows you to get the ball wide earlier and use what is an electric back three. I mean, Johnny May, Anthony Watson, Elliot Daly are rapid, steppy. They've got so much talent going forward.
Yeah, I think Watson's too talented. I've said this so many times. Like, he's so talented that he backs himself when maybe he shouldn't. I can't disagree, though. They are pretty good.
They're fairly handy.
Can they work as a unit? I mean, it's a fairly new unit.
They're looking more and more solid. There are still questions positionally under the high ball a little bit. More from Elliot Daly at 15, but he's getting more and more experience and he's looking solid enough.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, if I'd move Watson to 15. He's got more experience to 15. You can still have Elliot Daly on the field. Is Elliot Daly so important that he has to play 15 at all costs?
What they do when we were watching the other night, often Ford or Faz will drop back into that position, who are both fairly steady under the high ball, but to give you another kicking option, because Elliot Daly's got obviously a very good boot, but to have more of a controlling kicking option there as well.
I've just noticed Jonathan Joseph is not in the squad at all, and again, he could be injured, something could happen, we would never know because we're in Japan. that amazes me. I think he's been England's not best player, he's been a very, very good player for the last two games. That amazes me. Oh dear.
Yep. So, there's our predictions for that.
By 5-7.
Now, there has been some other rugby. We saw a little bit of the New Zealand-Canada game.
Yeah.
Which we saw more than enough to know that it was fairly comfortable at all times for New Zealand.
This is quite a sad game, actually, because it reminded me of the days before the Tier 2 Nations became quite good at rugby. I mean, the golfing class was so, so big.
Yeah. Yeah. It really was. And New Zealand didn't score anything in the last 20 minutes, didn't score any points in the last 20 minutes. So it could, and actually really should have been, a significantly higher score for New Zealand. Now, New Zealand have got a short turnaround. And I don't know if you've seen, now it's a short turnaround between Canada and Namibia. So it's not really going to make any difference. But I don't know if you've seen the starting lineup.
They're up on Sunday.
Yeah.
Do you know what will Knockleby here? The thing which frustrates me most. I think last World Cup there was some evidence that the Tier 2 teams had a worse turnaround schedule than the Tier 1s.
They did. Definitely last World Cup.
This year there are going to be short turnarounds. But there has to be short turnarounds because, you know, you just need them, okay? That's that.
Unless you want the tournament to be 15 weeks long.
Yes. Now, New Zealand have got a short turnaround. Nobody will mention this, but they probably will talk about Namibia. Every time Tier 2 Nation now has a short turnaround, people throw up their hands and they exclaim, oh, it's not fair, you know, it's some structural inadequacy, and it's already started, despite the fact that World Rugby have structured the tournament to make sure it's almost completely fair.
Actually, the team with the fewest short turnarounds, the best setup, is Japan.
Yeah.
They do have a home advantage anyway, but they do have comfortable 6 or 7 day turnaround between every game.
Yeah, so we've got quite a good block of games now. This is the third round, isn't it? So we've got South Africa, Italy today, Australia, Uruguay, England, Argentina, which is monumentally huge.
Yeah.
Japan, Samoa. That is a strange game.
It'll be an interesting game. It should be one that Japan relatively comfortably win, but
You never know.
You never know. Yeah.
You never know, because they're not quite a tier one nation.
Other better teams have fallen foul of Samoa, Fiji, Tonga in past tournaments. So
now, Samoa, do you think that they give World Rugby a bit of a problem? Because would they play like they've never seen a directive in their life?
Their game against Scotland that we watched the other night was not particularly good, was it?
No.
Not particularly good from either team, to be fair.
I forgot about exactly how bad that was. No one could catch the ball. It was probably the worst game of rugby I've seen for a couple of years.
Yeah. So the game on Sunday, you mentioned New Zealand, Namibia. I just mentioned that the interesting thing about that selection, the squad selection for them, is both of their first choice fly halves have started both games. Mm-hmm. So Bowden Barrett at 15 and Moonga at 10. So have you seen who's starting 10?
For New Zealand this time around?
Yeah.
No, go on.
Jordy Barrett.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. After playing wing against Canada, he starts at 10. So it'll be. It's not going to cause any problems in this game, but it'll just be an interesting little experiment.
Yeah. And the last one, the eminently losable game for France, Tonga.
Which in 2011, when they almost won the whole tournament, they lost to Tonga in the group stage.
Maybe lost to Tonga might really get them together for England.
Maybe. Or it might cause even more turmoil in the camp.
I would hate to be French. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, I'd love to be French, don't get me wrong. I like the food, I like the culture. I love their players individually. But how can they live with this rugby team?
I don't know. How can they get over the stress?
It's so stressful.
We're having seafood at a little food stall, chatting to three really nice French blokes shortly after the USA France game.
Bayonne fans.
And they were not particularly optimistic about France's chances, either against England or in the tournament generally.
I'm amazed. I'm just amazed. I'm amazed by the whole thing.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Right, well, that's a little roundup of what we've seen so far.
Jimmy, do you want to, just before we clock off,
yeah,
do you want to describe what you're wearing?
I'm wearing a... What is it?
Traditional Japanese robe type thing.
Yeah, what's the actual word for it? CJ, what's the word for this thing I'm wearing?
Kimono.
There you go. I'm full on kimono. When we got here, each bed has got a little kimono ready, so I thought I'd wear mine. I quite like it.
And we're about to go and have our...
Have you spoken about the onsen?
Well, we're going to have another onsen experience now.
I love an onsen.
In the next 5 minutes.
Can't wait.
Have we spoke about our... I don't think we have. Our male-only capsule hotel...
Hang on, there's only females in this one, is there?
With onsen. So there is a theme park onsen thing nearby that presumably is mixed. That's not for me. I'd much rather the male-only one.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That was an incredible experience, that capsule hotel, wasn't it?
I love it. I mean,
everything about the whole thing was incredible.
I don't know. So I'm torn. My initial thought on it was, I love this because you drop off your bag. Ours must have been decorated in the 80s, but it's been very, very well maintained since. So I absolutely love that. I mean, they have like these little narrow wooden lockers. You then walk around to the bathroom, and you've got the bathroom, the toilet, as in the room with baths in it.
Yeah.
I love the style of washing. Sitting on your little stool. So I'll just point out something now, why I think everyone should sit on a stool and have a shower rather than stand up. and particularly with the mirror. When you stand in front of the mirror and you kind of do this little self-assessment, you go, yeah, looking okay. It's because you're standing up and you sort of manipulate the angles at which you can look at yourself. When you're sitting down with your stomach all crunched all over you, you think, God, I'm disgusting. And it was that onsen experience that made me think, God, I'm disgusting, and went for a 10-mile walk immediately afterwards. So everyone should sit down and shower.
It was very good, though, that onsen. And that was in a hostel-type hotel. So this one, I'm looking forward to the one. And there is genuine hot springs around here.
Yeah.
Because
it's a volcano up the road.
Yeah.
Only 10 hours walk.
There's a road close. Siege and I were walking through a volcanic activity area. You could see the sulfur coming out of the ground. It's pretty cool. So we've got that to look forward to now before we head off to Tokyo tomorrow. Bullet train back to Tokyo for England, Argentina.
Yes, I had my Strava on the bullet train, so yeah. I've broken a few records.
170 miles an hour?
Yep.
Heart rate at 68. Chilling out.
Okay, well, guess you can find us and what we're doing on Twitter at Rugby Podcast, or me at Jay Beardmore, or even Tim at Cocker. Buy some razors if you want, or look, Tim can do this. So what I'll do is I'll hand you over to Tim. And we will see you on Sunday with a fuller podcast with all three of us. So and from me and Phil, sayonara.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.